Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Unknown Zone. This is the talk show about the unusual. I'm your host, Dave Turco, with co-host Judy Sellens. And tonight we're going to be talking about ghost soldiers and other ghost things that isn't really in the paranormal. It's much, much worse than that.
Unfortunately, it's in reality.
And it comes with a price tag. That's the big catch there.
And guess who's paying for it, folks? You guys. You don't even know that you're paying for all this. We'll
yeah.
get into it.
Oh, yeah. And wait till you hear the numbers. It's so sick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a little bit of a departure, but because it's not really paranormal, but it is. There goes soldiers. That's a little hook there. This is so, so, so weird. Okay, as everybody probably knows, under our friends, who was that president and vice president, Judy? George Bush and Dick Cheney, otherwise known as Darth Vader, just were bound and determined to get us into war. They were bound and determined to get us really in Iraq, which is the big story. But first we had to go into Afghanistan. Why did we go into Afghanistan? Oh, that's because Bin Laden was there. Anyhow, nearly $1 trillion later, what did they say it would cost? It would be over in a month or two, and this, that, or the other thing. It's just lies, 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 lies. Anyhow, and by the way, Bin Laden was never charged with 9/11. Did you know that? He was never charged with it.
No, because he said he didn't do it.
Well, not only did he not say he didn't do it, there was really no evidence that linked him to the whole thing.
No, nothing linked him to it. It's just that when the planes flew in, they all said, all the news media came out with, this is definitely an Al-Qaeda kind of attack.
Yeah, Bin Laden had his fingerprints all over it. Now, now that we know in retrospect the way the big picture actually works, and I can't really name any names. I don't remember who they were at the time, but all the usual suspects, all the bigwigs. Now, I don't care what station they were from, whether it was Fox or CNN, that are supposedly the opposites. No, they're not. When it comes down to it, they're all the same. They're just playing you about this left-right thing to keep you spinning. And so ABC, CBN, NBC, they're all the same. They all had the same thing. Bin Laden, Bin Laden, Bin Laden. Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. Okay, we'll prove it. Before we start dropping bombs and sending people over there, let's prove that. Well, that didn't really happen. We just had to act, and so we ended up over there. And it has just been an unmitigated fiasco. One of the things that has come out of this is that finally there is something called the Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction. So now that supposedly the war, quote unquote, is sort of over, because it isn't, it has never, never, never gotten over.
And the Taliban now controls, what, almost 80% of the of the country?
Yeah, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. In 2015, the government controlled 64.3%, and then 2016 less, and now they just control parts of Kabul or whatever they call Kabul is their capital, which, by the way, 100 years ago was a gleaming city, for those who want to know, very much like Baghdad or some of these other cities in the Middle East that were really fantastic, actually. Great climate, beautiful buildings, beautiful wide streets, gorgeous palm trees, the whole nine yards. It was functioning. Not that it matters what they wore, but people, men wore suits, and you wouldn't even really recognize it as something that wasn't in the West. Anyhow, not the case today. And so after all this, whatever is going on, we appointed a position called Special Inspector General for Afghanistan reconstruction. Well, turns out that, including the war now, so this includes the war, we've spent over $800 billion, okay? That's more than a quarter, three-quarters of $1 trillion.
Yep.
So I looked it up. The GDP, okay, gross domestic product, of everything put together, it doesn't mean just how many Afghans and poppies and whatever they sell, but also the worth of all the buildings, everything put together, is $19.33 billion of all of Afghanistan.
Right.
We have spent, the U.S. government, which is Wahoo people, the U.S. taxpayers, 39 times the GDP on Afghanistan, which means we could have rebuilt, you know, if it wasn't for the war and Al-Qaeda and everything, and the Taliban now, it morphed into, we'll call it Taliban. We could have rebuilt the entire country 39 times. The whole value of all of it we have spent, it's just unconscionable. And so, so what is there to show? Virtually nothing. And it turns out that, I mean, I think your favorite is the Ghost Hotel.
Well, I said I'm reading this thing and it's like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, this reminds me of China and their ghost cities.
Yeah.
And all of that kind of stuff. I mean, folks, they have cities over there, absolutely stunning cities with all kinds of major highways through them and everything. Nobody lives there.
Yeah, there's no garbage or pollution because nobody lives there.
Yeah.
They're beautiful malls.
Oh, the buildings are beautiful.
The malls are spectacular. The buildings are gleaming. The roads are pristine because nobody drives them.
The only thing different with that one in Afghanistan, David, is that the Chinese built their own, and we're building this for the Afghanis, and they're just letting it all fall apart. Or they haven't built anything anyway, because the hotel they walked out on that, what was that, 2013?
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done a thing to it. I mean, it's this massive hotel with these apartments, these big luxury apartments and everything. And they built it directly across from the embassy.
Right, the U.S.
Okay.
So and who was supposed to live there, though?
Anybody who wanted to had the money for it. I mean, how many of them had the money to live there?
Who would go there? Mm. It is a war zone controlled by the Taliban.
Well, they started building this thing. They said it needed to be built. So we went over and we allowed it to be built. And we put our hard-earned taxpayers' money into building this thing. And what happened was they all left. All the workers, everybody left. And we didn't even know they left because nobody's riding herd on like OPEC or any of that. Nobody's doing anything over there, riding herd on anything. So we didn't even know they left. They not only left, but they took all the stuff that was needed to finish the hotel, windows and doors and the inside of the big, you know, the big, whether it's the lounge or the lobby or whatever. I mean, they took it all, and they took all the tools, all the equipment, everything, and they left. We don't know where they went.
And, you know, this was, we paid for it, but they used, this is what gets me. And we're going to get into this, though, it gets super, 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 super sinister that I'm going to tie it in with, because everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is connected. These contractors, you know, if they had, you know, the old days, Judy, we had the CBs.
Mm-hmm.
They could build roads. They could build bridges. They could build buildings. In fact, where I work, if anybody needs film developed, because almost nobody does that, ABC Photo Lab in Mystic, Connecticut, we still do it, among other things. Anyway, we get a lot of old pictures and slides. And there were these, we've had sometimes when, say, former military people get together for a, like, 50-year reunion, 30-year reunion, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one, the CBs that were in Vietnam. And it started like, it was so cool because it started with their training in, I believe it was Mississippi. And you see the progression. Of course, it took years, but I saw it in slides that I scanned and turned into digitized it and put it on a CD for them. Made a slideshow for a DVD. And I'm sure it was just fantastic, actually. And how grateful, what I really loved was, this is when America was doing it right, as bad as the Vietnam War was. Let me tell you something. The people over there loved the CBs. We built roads. We built bridges that were ruined. And it really gave them their lives back. We built lots of things for them. They loved the CBs. Absolutely loved them. And the guy who brought them in, he said, yeah, he was in the, you could call it the war, but he wasn't like shooting anybody. He said it was highly rewarding because they knew they were truly helping these people. Anyway, but that was the U.S. government, meaning, soldiers. And we got our money's worth. Vietnam got their money's worth. This is different. We use contractors.
Yeah.
And believe me, there's kickbacks to become a contractor. They talk about, I'm not going to get into politics. They'll go on and on about Trump and his billionaire friends. They're all the same. They're all have billionaire friends or multi-millionaire friends. This went on under Bush. It continued on under Obama, and it's going to continue on under Trump. It's the way things are done. This was a 5-star Marriott hotel, 209 rooms, luxury apartment building, being built by private contracting group, paid for by the U.S. government, never completed, as you were saying. And then, of course, they decided not to finish it, they started, like you said, they just started to take everything that was supposed to build the rest of it. And who knows where it is. Hopefully it went to their houses. I really mean that. Hopefully they built something where somebody's getting some use of it. Paid for it. Or you know what they probably did? Sold it on the black market. That's probably what they did.
The same with the weapons and everything else that we've given to the Afghanis. They sell them to the Taliban.
Both in
because
Iraq.
Because the Taliban says it's cheaper.
Both in
Iraq. Better. Yeah.
No, sorry. In Afghanistan, right. We were over there with trucks full of money. And we were just basically handing it out. I mean, wouldn't that be nice to have that here in needy areas? Why don't we do that here? When you see him, folks, listen, what was we're now at roughly $20 trillion. This alone almost added a $1 trillion to our overall debt. We don't need to be doing this stuff. This is just absolutely
We could be rebuilding our infrastructure here in the United States.
Absolutely.
Instead of dumping it over there and then having them turn around and blow it up again, and then we go back and fix it again, and then they blow it up again.
That's right.
That's all it is. It's constant repairing of what they're blowing up. Because they know we'll pay for it.
Right. It's just this endless spigot of money.
Yeah.
It is absolutely flipping amazing. But yeah, this thing, that's 11 years ago this project started. It's gutted. Mm-hmm. And nothing's going to be done. It's just a shell.
It looks like it's been bombed out. It hasn't been actually bombed out. It's just falling apart. There's cracks in it. There's no power sources to it. There's no nothing. And, the thing that gets me is one of these areas that is now completely controlled by the Taliban that they just let the Afghan military, right, they just walked away. And, I'm going home. I'm tired of this stuff. And so they left. And so the whole problem with it is that, oh, God, I'm losing my train of thought. Well, I mean, I was so frustrated with what you're reading, and it's like, we gave them all this money to repair this place. Oh, I know what it was. The United Kingdom built them a huge power dam over there, so they'd all have power and everything else.
Oh, that was to win the minds and hearts. That crap.
Yeah, tried to win them over, and they left. It's like, give it to the Taliban. We don't want it. But the other thing that was, did you read about the gas station?
Yes.
It was we paid $43 million of United Fair money, and we used it to build an Afghan gas station, and the cost came to 140 times more than it should have cost.
That's right.
When a CNG station in Pakistan cost no more than $500,000 to build. We paid $43 million for it.
That's right. Well, you don't get for the money. This is the thing. Just like the $85 million of nothingness known as the Ghost Hotel.
Yes,
and, you know, right. when the Special Inspector General for the Afghan Reconstruction,
mm-hmm.
he writes back to the government, I am writing to alert you to serious deficiencies in the management and oversight, and on it goes. Wait a minute. Serious deficiencies in the management and oversight. There's no one there. There is no management.
There's no security.
There
hasn't been anybody even to investigate these buildings to see if they're even being built and what's going on with them.
Right. And the beautiful thing is when they finally got people in there to look at it, well, it had numerous problems, including structural cracks in the walls and roof, damaged
mm-hmm.
steel beams and columns, uninstalled doors and windows, the electrical, elevator, communications, fire prevention and suppression, sewer, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems were incomplete. Read, they don't work and will never work. Okay, so in other words, it's a shell of a building that doesn't work and will never work. And then you call that serious deficiencies? No, this is absolutely unbelievable, as he summed up calling it an abandoned empty shell.
Yeah.
Possibly as a result of fraud. You think it was a result of fraud? The whole thing is fraudulent.
Everything in that country is fraud.
But look what
they're doing as far as the soldiers and the police and the schools. Okay.
Oh, exactly. I know this is great stuff.
All of it. We're paying for all of it, and it doesn't exist.
So dig this. So there's this. They do this clever thing. Now, I'm just going to say this. This is not to insult any nation or people, any race, gender, creed, or color, blah, 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 blah. This is just stating the facts. Those countries, unfortunately, and I know so many of these people are innocent, and I don't care which country it is, there are just lots of innocent people in every country. However, the corruption in these countries
right.
knows no bounds. Without naming names, a close relative of mine is in law and happens to be a judge, and this person has learned the hard way, well, through experience, that people from certain cultures lie. And that's all they do is lie. But I have run into a few that this person believed was sincere. Other than that, and you could tell eventually, like, okay, this person is actually legit. But all of them, they all have the same story. They have these you know, their uncle always gets shot and killed right in front of them in their front lawn, blah, blah, blah. They have these set things that they say. And, you know, it just gets to the point where it's insane. But this is what these people do. And it's because the only way for them to try to survive in a corrupt country is through lying.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're not going to get anything. So this is what people do. And unfortunately, this is just a fact. And so these people have no qualms with having, you know, a commander in the military has 100 people working for him. What does he do? He tells 50 of them to go. You're out of here. Why?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to collect their paychecks, which he did do.
Yeah.
Okay.
They send them home. Go on home. Go away.
Go on home.
They don't care if they join the Taliban. They don't care where they go. Just go away because I want your salary.
Now, this is what gets me. And here's the Pollyanna part, because I know everybody in the military already knows this. I know everybody in the government already knows this. They knew of the mega corruption that was going to happen. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have these people, and what do they do? Because obviously, why with all our money and everything that we're giving, munitions, everything to the Afghan government, why is the Taliban winning?
Okay. Why are they so in control of
everything? Well, it turns out this is where the ghost soldiers come from. They just make up names. They take dead soldiers, soldiers who are missing. They just write their names. Yep, he's on. He's up. Yep. We've got a unit of 50,000 people. No, you don't. They're all made up. It's all made up. And they're not well trained. Still to this day are not well trained. They certainly can't fight on the front lines, which means actually fighting the Taliban. Now, somehow the same ethnic people in the Taliban know how to fight on the front line, but these people don't, and they won't, and they just can't do it. Well, they're not going to do it, and they just leave. They're not going to fight. It's absolutely flipping amazing.
Yeah.
And it's not just in the military. Teachers, schools, fake.
It's their police departments, and it's everything.
Yep. Police departments, it's everything. It's every walk of life, and income.
Whatever
money
your dollar bill is going into to support over there is going somewhere into somebody's pocket, and it's not being even. Even the Americans aren't even over there riding herd on where the money goes. Nobody cares.
And when I think of our guys over there, and I do have empathy, believe me, I do. I know a lot of these the regular citizens are just victims of this thing. They should have every right to a decent life. You know, basic education, food and water, electricity, whatever. You know, we can do this. No. It's just a complete mess, and at the same time, okay, they have ghost soldiers, but we have real soldiers over there risking their lives, having their lives ruined, limbs blown off. For what?
We've lost over 2,000 troops, and
how many more injured?
Many
how many more with PTSD?
Wounded, and their lives completely uprooted too.
Yeah, it is insane. It's the stress it puts on. But anyway. It's estimated at least 40% of enlisted troops are ghost soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably because at least half of the Afghan.
When they had a thing on the other night on TV, and that's how I got into this, was listening to this guy who's done a lot of bringing this out to the American public, and he was being interviewed, and he said, actually, we do believe that it's probably even more than 40%. It's more like at least 50% of the people over there that we're paying for aren't even there.
No. Mm-mm.
You know, one place, David, they thought that they had 150 or 200 of the military working there. And when they finally went in to see to what was going on, there was 15 guys sitting there. 15! And in another place, they went in to check to see how many they had. Supposedly, they should have had 80.
Mm.
They had 5. And so these guys cannot control the front lines at all. They don't have the military might to do it.
So you wonder
why the Taliban's taking control.
Right, and they have no will either. I mean, it is...
They're not even being fed, these poor buggers. They're over there, they get rice and green tea while the commanding officers are eating all kinds of fancy vegetables and meat, and they're living high on the hog.
When you think of how much money we're spending, these people should have filet mignon, shipped in from Omaha Steaks. This is ridiculous. And they're eating rice, one of the cheapest foods on the planet, and green tea.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all they're getting.
First of all, a diet of rice, it doesn't do well for fighters. And this is just pitiful. And again, this is my thing. Why is nothing done about this? And again, the Special Inspector General has stated, this is on the record, that no one knows for sure how many police or military actually exist, let alone what they're capable of.
Right.
Okay, this is the year 2017. 2017, what year did we start this?
15 years ago.
How can we be in this position?
Mm-hmm.
How is this possible? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the Afghan people. I really am. But we have got to get out of there.
Well, I mean, if it comes down to the corruption and everything else, you know, it's like there's a time and a place when you just step back and say, you know, I can't deal with this anymore. The American people have put enough money to rebuild places almost 40 times over, and yet we're still being stiffed every single day by us over here who are struggling. We have a lot of families in the United States who are struggling to feed and care for their own families. We have infrastructure over here that's dilapidated and falling apart because we haven't had the funds to take care of it and rebuild it. I mean, hello, it's time to walk away and say, you guys do what you want. You take your little ghost soldiers and go fight your war with the Taliban, and, you know, you have a nice life. We built you a nice hotel, put some windows in it, and put some doors on it, and some people could live there.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, you've got a dam that if it hasn't been blown apart and destroyed, you would have power. You would be able to have all kinds of electricity. So just think about that, and we'll see you. Really? Really? Just walk away and say, you know what? Enough is enough is enough. The American people pay. I mean,
they just pay
and never get a thing back here. I mean, Our people are struggling. And people say, oh, well, you've got homes and you've got this and that. Well, we got bridges that will fall on you. We have overpasses that will drop on you and crush you.
You know what, Judy?
We have bridges falling down. Hello.
Oh, you got that right. I love what we do nowadays is just take the rusty thing, get rid of the rust and paint it, as though that's going to make it more stable.
Rust-Oleum. That'll cure it.
It's so, so sad. And anyhow, whatever, this world, I mean, we've talked about this for so long now. This is such an upside-down world. Anyhow, this is one of my favorite parts. You know, it's not just the ghost hotel that has no management,
mm-hmm.
aside from Casper and Wendy.
It has nothing.
This is my favorite part, that in the military, a lot of the officers are drug smugglers.
Oh, yes.
And that the drug use among the Afghan military is rampant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're high most of the time. The Taliban just watches them or have informants, and then they attack when they're all high.
Yeah, they can walk right in when they're all high. And the Taliban's the one selling the drugs because they own the poppy fields.
Oh.
It's like, hello, bring the guys home. We've needed to bring them home now for years. Bring the rest of them home.
I mean,
they brought some of them, but bring the rest of them home.
If it really mattered, we would just use Agent Orange. Who cares if it's illegal at this point? And just, you know, eliminate the poppy fields. But no, we're not going to do that.
No.
And that gets into what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, which is so sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Also, 15 years on, the year 2017, the government of Afghanistan has no strategy to defeat the Taliban. They officially have no strategy.
No.
I mean, a dartboard would be better. Do something. Russian roulette? Anything. Cut up pieces of paper with words on it and pick, stick it in a hat and pull it out.
Yeah.
Run. Hide. Spin in a corner. Do something. No. Their strategy is, we'll use fake names to fluff up our military so we get lots of money. We don't really want to be here, so we don't even arm the front lines, and we'll be high all the time. That's the strategy, basically, all paid by the government. It is unbelievable. Okay, so now we've talked about that. This is the thing, Judy, that I stumbled on, and it's totally related. It's a sidebar. There is a whistleblower. You pretty much have to go on YouTube to find him. This is major. It's a huge major story. He was a financier. He's Dutch. His name is Roland Bernard. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D. Bernard, B-E-R-N-A-R-D. Dutch. He was high, high, high elite in the banking system. He wasn't part of the, you know, the Rothschilds or the You know, he wasn't born, you know, into the any of the big families. He worked his way up. But he's very, very willing to do that. And he got really, really big in the major banking. And then eventually he learned what we call euphemistically the Illuminati, for lack of whatever term, he says is real. Absolutely is real. It might be a little bit bigger than people think. He says it's about 8,000 people who actually run the entire world. That would include everybody who actually makes decisions. You know how in whatever these weird decisions get happen, you know, we it looks like, say, in our town, we have a town council, or we might have a mayor, or you have a whatever it may be for that runs your local. No, they don't. They're there for, you know, for elections and whatever, but everybody answers to a higher authority. Just like when they talk about the president of the United States, and it doesn't matter which one it is. It could be Ronald Reagan, it could be Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, or Donald Trump. There are people higher than him in America. This is not a secret. It hasn't been a secret for actually many, many years. And that's why, you know, when they find out, they become, you know, it was Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton. They all do the same thing. They want all the files on the UFOs. Who gets to say no to the president? Well, people above them. And they never get to hear any of that sort of stuff. Okay. So anyway, he says there are about 8,000 people that actually rule the world, make all the real decisions. And as we know, one of the major things, because it's all about money, money and power, money and power. So they want to control everything, and it's just money and power. One of the biggest things, of course, where you make money is war. Now, listen to what we're talking about. That's why I don't believe that we'll have a world war. I think when one war winds down, you notice another one always takes its place. And everybody said, why can't we ever have peace? We're not going to have peace until everybody takes up their power. And we the people get our power back. And I don't mean just the U.S., because we don't have the power we think we have right now. We could have it. It's within our grasp. I don't care if it's the U.K. or French Guiana, Zimbabwe, Singapore. They're all controlled. It might not be the exact same people, but they're all controlled. And it's largely corporations as well as, you know, other, you know, governments and generals and militaries or whatever. But the huge banking system. And he was talking about the Afghan war and the Middle Eastern wars going on now. He goes, it's all fake. So the whole thing was created. He goes, he was part of it. We're dealing with, he said, the same people who fund the U.S. military fund the Taliban, fund ISIS. You know, we had done shows about it before, right, Judy? With IBM, George Bush's, what was the first Bush? What was his name? George Bush Sr.'s father. I forget. They were funding the Nazis. They were funding both sides.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But you know, you'd think a company like IBM, we might get taken over by these fascists. No. You would say, well, we're not going to give you technology. Oh, yes, they did. And Bush, oh, absolutely. Evander, or something like Evander Bush. What was his name? It doesn't really matter. This was well known.
It was his grandfather.
Okay, grandfather. But the number of these people, they're just to name a few, that were all, they are doing this to this day. And in the banking industry, this is one of the biggest ways of making money, because people are willing to part with money to, one, protect themselves, to fight a scary enemy that might destroy their civilization, that is needed to keep our troops safe, all the above. They know people are willing to part with lots of money to do that. A country like Afghanistan, whose GDP is only $19.33 billion, we have spent over $800 billion in. That doesn't even seem possible, but we've done it. That's just Afghanistan. This isn't including what we're doing in Iraq, Syria, all those other sort of countries, you know, the Libya, Egypt, all that other stuff that's going on now. that doesn't even scratch that. It's trillions of dollars, and with all these ghost people, who really is getting all this money?
Yeah.
It's these same people that are behind all of it, and they're just like funneling it all in. I don't know what they do with it. And, you know, then you find out with Forbes. You know, the Forbes list of the richest people, you know, there's a caveat with that, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's Bill Gates or that guy from Mexico, Slim, Carlos Slim, who's they always vie for who's the richest, Warren Buffett, whatever, the Waltons, blah, 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 blah. They are chicken scratch, literally, compared to these other ones. Why? Because people like the Rothschilds and even some of the Rockefellers and those big, big families that are, you know, are the Bilderbergers that control all these things all around the world. They don't pay taxes. If they do, did you know that they don't even have to file? All they do is give a goodwill contribution to the IRS.
Yeah.
This is not made up here. This is not a conspiracy. This is real. These are trillionaires. They have no idea how many trillions these people own. They're thinking some of them upwards of $30 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the GDP of America, well, they keep changing it, is somewhere now. Whatever our debt is, they say that is what our GDP is. It is, and it's closer to like $16 trillion. So there are families that own more than all the worth of the entire United States.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, this is real, folks. And it's getting worse. You're talking about the 1% or the 0.001%. You know, this is what we're dealing with here. And what's happening is, just like you see when these mergers happen, the same is happening at this level that most folks don't know about, that we call the Illuminati. They're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I don't know what is the smallest they will ever get to, but fewer and fewer people holding more and more wealth. And according to this guy who got out of it, and you think, well, why would you get out of it? And this is where it gets really sinister, Judy. This guy had a troubled life, and so he had no conscience. And he said his mind was like a freezer. He just had no empathy. He didn't care. If you play a certain game and you follow certain rules, it's like really the mob on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. In the banking, world banking, that, and he says, believe me, it's just so corrupt, and they are backing all the different factions out there, and there's no there they have no boundaries. The U.S., Russia, Japan, China, it's all an illusion. He said that's there are no boundaries to these people, and he goes he was one of them. He goes, you know, low level. He's not even one of the 8,000, but compared to a lot of people, he's, you know, in the stratosphere. Okay, so anyway, he said what they do and how they control people, he said it was like a joke, but these people actually worship Satan and have churches of Satan. So they started to invite, the higher he got into this, going to these satanic churches, and he said, yeah, it's like what you hear about. It's true. A lot of naked women, sex, drug, rock and roll, all sorts of weird things, and he just thought this was great. You know, I get to abuse people. He's thinking, you know, you people are stupid for, you know, basically being, you know, the main course and not having a life and just being used. So I'm going to use you. So that was all fine and dandy, and that went on, and he continued living the good life, and he was calling it the good life, until they got to how they really blackmail you, and that was human sacrifice. And he said, and it was children. And that's when he ended up having a nervous breakdown. And he couldn't, luckily for him, he had a nervous breakdown and couldn't really do the job anymore. But he started to refuse and, you know, was getting cold feet. He eventually got out of it, but he fears for his life. And he said, and that's how they control all these people and all these puppets that they have installed in governments. Now, I'm not saying that for sure that whoever's been president in the last 50 years has, you know, killed kids or whatever. And there are rumors out there, but they have done something. Every single one, Judy, like I said before, I voted for Barack Obama. Let's say that one, right? I think it was amazing, amazing speaker, charismatic, said all the right words. And then remember, Judy, I know you still liked him and everything. Don't you remember when he changed?
He changed when supposedly Hillary Clinton took him to meet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this was early on.
It was after he got elected.
Yeah, it was early on. And I'm like, who's that? Where's the spark in his eye? Where's that gleam? Where was all the hope and change? What happened to him? No, he was subdued. He turned into, sorry, in my opinion, another politician. More skillful than many, true. But what happened? Something happened. I don't know. I still say it was basically like this. I'm not saying he said, okay, now chop off these kids' heads. I think it was more like, you want to see your kids and your wife, you know, reach old age or whatever? You want to see your kids get married and graduate from high school? You're going to do this. This is what you're going to do. We're in control. Something like that. And let's say, and then we go to Trump. Remember when Trump first, I think it was after he got elected, and he first went to the White House to meet Obama, correct?
Yeah.
Remember what he looked like? They both look like, well, I'm not saying that Obama looked that different. He did look a little bit different. But all of a sudden, Trump wasn't he's sort of going back to it, but.
Oh, he had the same shocked look on his face as Obama had. The next day when they were interviewing him. And, you know, saying that he'd been with Hillary Clinton the night before, and that was the first thing we came up with. Guess who they met with?
Because
she took him to Maryland, and that's where they were meeting that month.
Yep, and they did the same damn thing. And you could see that he was like barely could even talk. It was very disturbing. And I'm thinking, well, Obama doesn't care anymore. He's out. He's done his 8 years. It's a transfer of power. What the heck is going on here? It was really weird. But this is all part of this thing that goes on. Somebody who's like this, you know, Roland Bernard, the way they control him. And he said, all these people at the tops of all these industries. And he names names. He says, you know, Hollywood, anything that has to do with the media, a lot of what has to do with education at the very top, those people controlling that. He goes, they're all in on this thing. And he goes, you know what? It doesn't have to be this way. We could change it overnight if people had only took back their power. 7 billion versus 8,000, we win. We win, people. Do it. But these people are very active. And all these things, Judy, like he says, iPhones. Remember when we did the show on how iPhones, the swipe down is like pulling a lever on a one-armed bandit in a casino?
Mm-hmm.
It gets you addicted. Swipe, swipe, swipe. These people are addicted. Now in our local paper, there were 26 people finally are in. I don't care who's president. I don't care who's the mayor. I don't care who's the governor. Enforce the laws. So we've got all these people texting. Do you notice that? I cannot get over people in traffic driving, texting. It's illegal.
Or people walking along. They walk right out in traffic because they're so busy looking at their telephones and texting and stuff. They're not even paying attention to getting
run over. Yeah,
remember
the person that fell in the Grand Canyon?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's funny if it were a comedy, a black comedy. That actually happened. And somebody also fell off, I think it was the White Cliffs of Dover. How horrid. They were texting and not paying attention to what they were doing. Okay, this is, it's like a sci-fi episode, people, where folks are so into these things, they're designed for that. Sure, they're great telecommunication devices. Yeah, they're great for commerce. Yeah, they're great for, you know, calling Uber or whatever. Taking pictures of a flying saucer that goes by that nobody would otherwise see. Blah, 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 blah. But the thing is, people's heads are down in them while they're getting control of you, is what they're doing. And the mind control. One, they know exactly where you are. They know exactly what you're buying. From that, they have software that can even tell you what you're thinking. Pretty much. That's what all of this is about. It's all about control. We have sociopaths who are... we've done this before. Judy and I have been doing this since at least 2003. 14, 15 years we've been doing this show.
Oh, yeah.
We have done so many topics, and eventually you start to put the pieces together. Actually, they hit you over the head because you see the same that we you know, researched that came up. Oh, there's that person again. He's there too. Or, you know, there's that same phrase, or that's that same quote, or that's this or that. Eventually you start to piece it together. And what you find, there is, this is a multidimensional existence. There are nefarious forces. The Bible is not bunk. It's real. It's all in the Bible. If you want to read it, please do. I recommend it to everybody. Read both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's full of this sort of stuff. Very supernatural is the Bible. Obviously, it's full of, you know, angels and, you know, Jesus, for goodness sakes, the Son of God. That's pretty supernatural right there. But it's also, you know, look at the book of Revelation. Look at what these forces are doing, these unseen forces constantly affecting people. And these really, really deranged folks are very happy to do the bidding of the dark forces. And this is real. And, you know, so you have something like, do a show on, like, okay, it doesn't make sense. Clearly, you've got the Inspector General saying, okay, we've wasted $800 billion. Obama knows this. Trump now knows this. And we're bombing
more.
That's
only one country, too.
That's only one country. And we're bombing more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these things about everybody got excited about Trump bombing Syria. Okay, I'm not going to get into the rights and wrongs about these other countries and their leaders. I wouldn't want them as my leader. However, that poison gas thing, how was it really proved? Or was it, as this Roland Bernard suggests, a lot of these things are setups. They're just full time. Why would, when we've got all the military might, would Assad stop gassing his own people? Because we're going to go crazy over it. And there we do it. Another war. Just like when they said to Saddam Hussein, do not go into Kuwait. What's the first thing he does? He goes into Kuwait. And that gave us a pretext for bombing the heck out of them and wasted trillions of dollars right there. But is it waste? Sure, it's waste on our part. But these same people, these 8,000, it's a funnel. Picture a funnel. The money's just going down to it. Big at the top, all the individuals throwing the money in. Small at the bottom, the 8,000 just filling their pockets. It's all true. You know, like I said before, not to be Pollyanna, because I am a little bit Pollyanna. But, you know, some of it's based in truth. Let's say because we both have some Irish in us. So over in Ireland, they have this big thing with the Catholics and the Protestants. Funny thing, they can't get along there, but when they move here, they can.
They all get along.
They all get along.
Because that's our laws, and you have to follow the laws, so they just get along.
Okay.
So they could switch and make the laws the same there, that you have to get along.
Absolutely. Why can't these people get along there? And the same can be true of other folks coming here where, you know, we don't have these old, you know, we have the Hatfields and McCoys, but the longstanding's great. You can come here and live peacefully and lead your life. It's okay. You can do this. And it's been proved over and over and over and over. We're starting to lose that now. And by the way, I just want to throw this out there, which is super cool. And I make no money from doing this. Judy, I did that 23andMe genetics things.
Oh, yeah?
So, of course, I knew. So, obviously, and it said you have a parent that was 100% British-Irish. True, my mother. 100% Italian. True, my father. But that was only part of the story. That's only in the couple of generations, because that's what I was predominantly. It was enough to say I either have a parent or grandparent that was those people. Actually, it said parent. So it nailed that one. But I have some anomalous genes, which I'm beyond excited about. I do have African, not just North African, which is like the same as Middle Eastern. So that's like nothing. That's old hat nowadays. But what I actually have is Sub-Saharan Black African.
Wow.
And it said that it would have been a ancestor born, say, anytime from like 1750 to 1800, 1820, who was 100% African. Not only that.
Well, that's not surprising because, you know, a lot of the Italians, if especially the southern Italians,
yeah,
have a runaway African slavery blood in them.
Yeah, but oh yeah, yeah, runaway. Because I know my ancestors didn't have slaves; they were pretty much slaves.
No, they didn't
level.
Have to have slaves. They came off of boats and ships
yeah.
that came across, and they swam in, and the Italian people, like they always still do today, they just accepted them.
Yeah,
and,
it's so cool.
Yeah.
So I got that, and then from my mother's side, I have same time frame. An answer that get this. Was 100% either from Papua, I can almost not say it, it's so funny, Papua New Guinea or they call it Melanesia, which is Fiji or Vanuatu, those
mm-hmm.
islands, Solomon Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what?
Where did that one come from?
Well, this is where on my mother's side, they come from a long line of ministers, deacons, stuff like that, reverends. And
they could have been on the islands.
Could
yeah.
have been missionaries and
missionaries.
Went there and either apparently was not uncommon to take back or people who were orphaned and not actually bring them back here. Or maybe
uh-huh.
one of them could have, you know, married a so-called native or whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is full-blooded, by the way. It's so amazing. So this is the thing. I'm a mishmash. I knew it anyway, but I didn't know I was that big of a mishmash.
Mm-hmm.
We're all human beings. We can get along. However, there's this force out there that, one, wants to divide and conquer us, and they do it through money and power. And the biggest way is through war.
Yeah.
We can get along. We can all live. Listen, I'm going to be the first one to say, with all the stuff that I find extremist Muslims are doing is insane. However, I'm not saying they should be exterminated. They have the right to live on this planet. Just stay where you are and, you know, lead your life there. Leave the rest of the world alone. I know they want to, what is it? What's the term? They have that term about, you know, converting everybody, you know, for Allah, for you know, the entire planet, for Allah.
Yeah.
They, you know, not your average Muslim down the street that works at, you know, at the bank next to you. They're fine. I'm talking about these wing nuts, you know, the ISIS and
the radical ones.
The radical, these extremists.
Yeah.
Whack jobs.
Yeah.
But I believe that this is all part of these folks. They're just like puppets too. And you know, these folks get all riled up, believe in this nuttiness. It's still a big world. Even with all modernity, it's a big world. There's plenty of room for everybody. Why the hell can't we just, you know?
In the meantime, why don't we send our guys home?
Exactly.
And give them, and let's pull in our belts here and try to build our country back up to where it used to be. It's especially when it comes down to infrastructure and things like that. That's an important issue. And that needs to be taken care of before we take care of other people's countries.
That's right.
You know, because especially if they're ripping you off. If they're ripping you off, why continue to allow it to happen?
And
just
you know what?
Walk away and come over here and start doing the work where it needs to be.
And another thing, granted those countries are screwed up now, they still oddly function. And
in
their own way. And guess what? They still they have universities. They have universities still going on today. They still have college kids going on campus. It's bizarre, but they do. Listen, Afghanistan was an empire before there was a United States. Same with Iraq. Same with Syria. I have confidence in those people that they can, in fact, govern and live peacefully with themselves and their neighbors. I have full confidence that they can do that. We're going to leave you now. Okay? So I don't. You can be president. I'll be vice president. That's fine. Vice versa. I'm down with that. I don't see. Who could disagree with this?
Mm-hmm.
It's
and you know what? They
logical.
Probably wouldn't disagree with it either because I think everybody's tired of the whole thing.
Right.
I think everybody's tired of wars and people getting killed and having to deal with, you know, the crap that goes on with it. And I think that they would all accept it. It's like, oh, thank God they're leaving. You know, that's what the Iraqis did to us. They said, you don't get your people out of here by, what, 2014, then we won't be responsible for their safety.
Well, it's just like
after
World War II, we're still in Okinawa. The Okinawans want us out of there. I know a lot of people like it. It's a good billet. People like being there. You know, it's a very tropical, is it a subtropical or tropical island, neat place, great locals, whatever. But we don't belong there.
We don't belong, you know.
Japanese and Okinawans.
We've got our forces spread so thin across the world that it's ridiculous at this point.
They are
just
more than
bring
capable
them home.
Of taking care of themselves. This is so foolish. It is just insane.
I know. Can't do much about it.
No,
I know what I was going to tell you.
Go ahead.
You were talking about your lineage and all that.
Yes.
And I saw a whole thing on Mary, Queen of Scots.
Okay.
And it came down that her father was King James the Fifth. Her son, she named King James the Seventh. She always wanted to be Queen of England, but never got to be.
That's right.
She was also half French. So she always wanted to be the queen. She never got to be the queen until, you know, her son became king.
You're saying she was half French?
She was her mother was had French. Yeah. Her mother was half French through her mother.
All right. Well,
anyway, he became King of England, something that she always wanted, but she was very pleased that he got to be the King of England. And since this to this modern day, all of the royals who ever sat on the throne of England have his lineage. So that means, David, and you better bow down, because I am related to Queen Elizabeth.
What do you mean?
My grandmother was a direct descendant of Mary, Queen of Scots.
Seriously?
Absolutely. So my father always talked about the royalty. My great-grandmother lived in a castle over there. They were a lord and lady, and they were direct lines to Mary, Queen of Scots. Matter of fact, she stayed in one of their bedrooms upstairs at one time, and they kept it just because she stayed there. And it was, I remember seeing the pictures of it when I was a kid. So, yeah, it comes down to that there hasn't been royalty that sat on the throne since King James the Seventh that hasn't had Mary Stuart's bloodlines. And so I'm related to Queen Elizabeth. You better bow down.
All right.
Next time. It's kind of fun to look up at that kind of stuff anyway. But anyway, we'll have something new for next week, I'm sure. I just thought this was kind of interesting.
Okay,
you know,
so
a lot of people
James
have no clue
James
as to what we're paying into these days. So
that
anyway,
sure.
I hope everyone has a wonderful week, and we will be with you next week.
Gary McKinstry.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Judy. And for Judy Sellens, I'm Dave Turco. Inviting you not only to always listen to our show, but take back your power so we can end these wars and have the world we want. And until then, enjoy.